Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Water is absolutely everywhere in the Bible. In the beginning, we read that the Spirit hovered over the waters, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. In the great flood, water both destroyed and saved, drowning the wicked, but carrying Noah and his family to safety. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. The Israelites passed through the Red Sea, saved from Pharaoh's army by the power of God. Exodus chapter 14, verses 21 and 22. Again and again and again throughout God's word, God uses water to accomplish his saving work. So it really shouldn't be all that surprising to us that when Jesus ascended into heaven, he left us with a command that closely involved water. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Tonight, as we continue our Lenten journey through Luther's small catechism, we focus on holy baptism, what it is, what it does, and for whom it is given. Of course, this can't be exhaustive, but I pray that it will drive you not only to return to your small catechism, that you might read again the explanation, but perhaps even to the large catechism, particularly for you fathers, as you seek to instruct your families, that you might know more fully the gift that God gives to us in baptism. In the small catechism, Luther asks, what is baptism? And the answer is, baptism is not just plain water, but it is the water included in God's command and combined with God's word. Baptism is not, as some might suggest, some sort of empty ritual. It's not just a mere symbol of our faith, but it's also not our work. It's God's work. It's God's work that he outlines in his own word, in the scriptures themselves, where he delivers salvation through the water and his word. It is not difficult for us as Lutheran Christians to make the statement, baptism indeed saves. There are those who might detract from that position by saying either, well, we as good Reformation people believe that faith saves. Yes, that is true. Others might say baptism is merely an outward expression of faith, something that we do to show our commitment to God. To which we would say, well, if you're talking about works, that sounds like works. Something you do that shows your commitment to God, as if our salvation is somehow tied toward our own will? No, we stand quite firmly in the idea that baptism is God's work. It is what he does. Moreover, even though there may be times throughout our Christian life as we seek to understand the mystery of God's word, we are a people of Scripture alone, sola scriptura. And sometimes Scripture speaks to us in ways that may not make sense according to Socrates or Aristotle or what other logical system you might use. More than once, people have said, Pastor, that just doesn't simply make sense. Either baptism saves or faith saves. To which we would say, the Scriptures say that both save. The Bible teaches that baptism is a gift from God, and Mark clearly says baptism saves. Sometimes when we read the scriptures, the words might seem uncomfortable for us, difficult for us. But as Lutheran Christians, we have, from probably the moment we were born and baptized ourselves, have constantly heard from Lutheran pulpits and in our catechism classes and Sunday school that we simply believe what Scripture teaches. whether or not it makes sense, whether or not it seems consistent to our way of thinking, we have to stand on God's word. It is God's word that is the test, not our reason. It is God's word that sets the standard, not our logic or our thinking. It is God's word that says this is true, not our feelings. Mark 16:16 clearly says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. A clear teaching here that indeed the only thing that damns us to hell is not whether or not we have been baptized, but whether or not we have faith. Those without faith face eternal condemnation. And yet at the same time, God's word says those who believe and are baptized will be saved. I think the key word here is saved. Jesus does not say that baptism is optional. He doesn't say if you feel like it. He doesn't say if you really want to do it. He doesn't say whether or not your pastor decides to do it or teaches it correctly. He just, based on God's word, connects it directly to salvation. Some may object, but look, the second half of the verse says condemnation comes from unbelief, not from a lack of baptism. Yeah, that's exactly true. But Jesus' words make clear that baptism is not separate from faith. Rather, it is the means by which faith is given and strengthened. God's word says that when we are baptized, the Spirit comes upon us. God's word says that baptism is that which gives us faith. Therefore, the act of being baptized is the beginning of faith. Something that we don't always, some do, who are adult converts, something that we don't always choose, but is done for us. Exactly the same as faith itself. We do not choose God, Jesus says. Rather, he has chosen us. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. That is, God doesn't save us because we deserve it. If we deserve it, it's not a gift. It's a wage. Why does he do that? Because of his mercy. And then Paul goes on in the book of Titus, but according to his mercy, how? By the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. There are those who would seek to denigrate our position as Lutheran Christians by saying we believe in baptismal regeneration, that regeneration does something, to which we would say, guilty as charged, because it is what God's word says. I read it to you. Titus 3:5. By the washing of regeneration. Baptism is not our work. It is God's work. It is the washing of regeneration. A washing in which the Holy Spirit creates new life in us. After Peter, speaking about Noah's Ark and the flood, says plainly, baptism, which corresponds to this. Corresponds to what? Corresponds to the flood. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Just as Noah and his family were saved through water, so too are you and your family saved through water. Peter clearly says that. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's here that Peter directly states what many try to deny, that many fight against, that many might denigrate even. Baptism saves. It's not mere water, but water joined to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the way. It is the means. It is the real practical way that God applies the saving work of Christ to us personally. Sometimes when we look at these great truths, we are uncomfortable that God uses real earthly things to do his work. He speaks to us through his word. He encourages us through the words of encouragement from our brothers and sisters in Christ. He comes to us in bread and in wine and gives himself truly to us. Baptism is also for all people, including children. Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. Matthew chapter 19, verse 14. Oftentimes, another common objection to baptism is that it should only be given to those old enough to believe and confess their faith. That is, you have to do something. You have to make a confession. You have to feel a certain way. You have to think certain things. That seems to me to be exactly contradictory to our statement, sola fide, by faith alone. But Jesus and the apostles make clear that baptism is for all people, including infants and children. As a matter of fact, Peter actually says on Pentecost, and trust me, brothers and sisters, I have read this verse to those brother pastors of other traditions who rail against me, and the rage and fury that they have shown to me about simply reading them God's word is astounding. It's important to allow God's word to form us, not to have God's word conform to our thinking. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, Peter says, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. To say that Jesus does and the Holy Spirit does not speak to children would deny the very event when Mary entered into her cousin's Elizabeth house, and Elizabeth said that the child within her womb, John the Baptist, leapt for joy, confirming that Mary was the mother of her Lord. Even the child in utero, the Holy Spirit had given faith. What is that promise? And I'm sorry, who is that promise for? That promise is for you, brother or sister, your children, and everyone whom the Lord calls. Remember that Jesus even uses children as a way of trying to describe the spirit of welcome that he extends to the whole world. Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 19, verse 14. Now, some folks argue, but infants cannot understand. That is true. But neither could the blind or the lame who Jesus healed. They were repeatedly questioned by the Pharisees. How did this happen? I don't know. Go ask him. Even many adults, I challenge even you, do you have all of the understanding that you need? Do you fully understand the counsel and mysteries of God? No matter how old we are, we come to God with a certain sense of, well, cluelessness, of a lack of understanding. And yet the Holy Spirit works in our life, just as the Holy Spirit works in the lives of children. Did Jesus wait until the lame and the blind understood who he was before he healed them? Did he speak to Lazarus, who was dead, and say, "Lazarus, I'm going to need you to say you understand who I am before I raise you from the dead"? No. He just raised him from the dead. A clear indication that because of sin, brothers and sisters, all of us before faith were dead. And one does not ask the dead if they choose to be raised again. The paramedic does not say to the dead, "Can I do CPR?" No. And in the same way, Jesus acted in mercy. Jesus gave them what they could not give themselves, just as he has given all of us, from the infant to the aged, that which they could never fully understand. You see, this is true in baptism. Jesus does not say, "Let the little children come to me," after they reach the age of reason. He simply says, "Let them come." Some may still say, "But how can baptism give faith?" The answer is really simple. It's in Scripture, John chapter 3, verse 5. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. Here's what John says. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In baptism, the Holy Spirit is the one who is at work. It is the Holy Spirit who is creating and sustaining faith. Paul takes this and explains it even further in Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, where he calls baptism the new circumcision. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh. By the circumcision of Christ, are you ready? Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. Notice that wording. Faith comes through baptism. It is not something we bring to the water. It is something that God gives to us in the water. This is why baptism is not just for adults, but for children as well. Just as the infants of Israel were circumcised into God's covenant, so too are infants baptized into Christ. Luther teaches that baptism is not just a past event. This is part of the problem in our culture today, that we view everything on a line, chronologically. God exists in eternity. Luther says in the Catechism, what does such baptizing with water indicate? The answer. It indicates that the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Baptism is not just about our beginning in the faith. It is about our daily life in Christ. We are not the kind of people that would say, I was baptized. Rather, we are the people that say, I am baptized. We return to that baptism every day. In Luther's instructions about prayer in your small catechism, he reminds us each morning to make the sign of the cross. Why the sign of the cross? Because the pastor made the sign of the cross upon you at the moment you were baptized. We make the sign of the cross remembering that we have been washed, that we have been forgiven, and we have been made new. In the same manner, Luther encourages us at the end of the day, before you lay down upon your bed, before you conclude with your evening prayer, again, make the sign of the cross. Why? To remember that amidst all of that which had happened to you today, the crosses that you had to bear, the difficulties that you went through, the sins you have committed, they're all covered. They're all forgiven through your baptism. We'll address this more in depth next week, but you'll notice that in most churches, in many churches, Lutheran churches, the pastor may choose to touch the font as he extends the absolution of Christ. Why? Because your absolution, your forgiveness, is possible because of your baptism. You belong to Christ. Your sins are washed away. You have been born again of water and the Spirit. And if baptism saves, if it gives faith, if it is for all people, then what joy and peace we have in knowing that God has claimed us as his own, now and forever. My brothers and my sisters, your forgiveness, your salvation, your justification is not dependent upon you or me. It is purely God's gift, God's mercy, God's grace. I know it sounds hard, but for me to claim anything else, to say we bring anything, robs Christ of his glory. That somehow Christ needed our help to save us. I think all of us can agree, Christ did it alone. If we brought anything, it was just hands that were empty, hearts that needed to be filled. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.